I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Hancock and Kelly, sponsored by Insperity, HR that makes a difference, on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Well, you know what they say about fashion, don't you, John? It starts on the coasts and it makes its way to the Midwest eventually, right?
Is that how that works?
Well, the same could be said with a lot of the reinvention of crime, thinking of how we deal with crime, whether it be even through prosecution or policing. And we saw the defund police movement kind of start on the West Coast, out in San Francisco, New York, etc., and made its way. And boy, we're lived right through it here. Don't forget, we had Kim Gardner, who was a Soros-backed prosecutor who got ran out. We're dealing on a daily basis with less police and less opportunity. Here's an interesting article that was in Politico yesterday. It's about how blue cities are starting to embrace conservative anti-crime measures.
Imagine that.
One of the authors is kind enough to join us on the KMOX celebrity guest line. He's Paul Demko. He's an editor at Politico. Mr. Demko, thanks so much for taking your time to visit with us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and this is kind of mind-blowing because we're in the midst of this whole, defund the police, reimagine prosecuting crime here in St. Louis, something that kind of got started on the East and West Coasts a little bit sooner. But over in San Francisco, New York, and a lot of these big blue cities, they're reversing that course. And in fact, they're embracing a lot of really right-of-center ideas, are they not?
Yeah, I think I was particularly struck by San Francisco and New York at some of the policy proposals, or not just proposals, some of the policy ideas that are being enacted that I think would have been, you know, anathema to liberals just a few years ago. And I'm thinking particularly of drug screening for welfare recipients in San Francisco. I thought was really striking that that was approved by voters by, I think, over 60% of the vote, although that tally, I think, is still coming in, but passed easily. And then in New York, the governor calling in the National Guard to police the city, New York City's subway system. I mean, both of these things are just kind of jarring policy ideas in the context of the politics of those cities.
How did we get here? We'd gone through a long period of time in this country where we were increasing the jail population, and folks decided that we were putting too many nonviolent people behind bars, I suppose. And then we had these noted incidents of police that were, you know, bad actors that we all saw play out before us. But how did the policy shift happen that we decided that having fewer police officers was a good idea, and that, you know, being very selective about who we would incarcerate? Where did that germinate from, and how long ago did that process begin?
I think we're in an incredibly turbulent moment these last few years that has seen a lot of whiplash in how we think about these policies. So, you know, coming out of the pandemic or in the pandemic, we saw these huge spikes in crime across the country. And crime is something that hits everyone personally, whether you're liberal, conservative, whatever. When crime is happening in your community, you are not happy about it. And I think that really impacts how people think about these issues in a very personal way. And so you've seen sort of a backlash to some of the stuff that you saw, particularly coming out of the George Floyd incident, where you saw police powers being curbed in many cases, police budgets being reduced in many cases, and kind of a reversal of that trend. And the interesting thing and somewhat surprising thing, I guess, is that we're now in a moment where crime is actually going down quite a bit. Not everywhere. Like I live in Washington, D.C., and crime was just absolutely terrible here last year. Highest murder rate in 25 years. But overall, we're starting to see reductions. But at the same time, you're still seeing policymakers kind of reverse course to some degree on some of the policies that were enacted and really kind of is now bolstering police powers and increasing budgets.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of these policy changes are being driven by the voters. Yet a lot of the elected officials that are there ran on these ideas. And have you seen politicians paying some consequence for being out there for this progressive left now? Are they losing their roles, or are they just now embracing right-of-center policies?
I mean, I think San Francisco is probably the starkest example here, right? A very far left city where you saw sort of a grassroots rebellion against particularly the liberal DA, Chesa Boudin, who ultimately was recalled from office. And you're now seeing a mayoral race in San Francisco between the moderate, by San Francisco standards, London Breed, who's being challenged sort of from her right, I guess you would call it, in this year's mayor's race. So the terms of the debate in San Francisco had shifted dramatically. I mean, you're not seeing this everywhere, though. Like, you had liberal prosecutors in Austin and Houston who won re-election recently. So it's a mixed bag. But in some cases where crime has really been a driving issue, you have definitely seen politicians pay a cost or at least shift their policies pretty dramatically.
How are the interest groups who supported a lot of this leftist movement reacting? Of course, you can't help but think of the Giuliani days when they had Stop and Frisk. And, you know, he gets a lot of credit for really cleaning up the crime situation that was in New York, demonized by a lot of us on the left who thought that it was problematic. Now they seem to be embracing that same type of policing again. How are the ACLU and a lot of these leftist organizations reacting to that?
Oh, I don't think they're backing down on these issues. I don't have data right in front of me about some of the money that has gone into bankrolling liberal prosecutors, liberal DA campaigns. But that's that movement, I think, is still alive and well. We'll see how it plays out and whether how voters respond to that going forward. But I think it's a very live and very interesting debate right now that's playing out across the country in very local ways and how that manifests itself.
Paul Dimko is our guest. He's an editor at Politico. Before we let you go, this last little period of time has been an experiment, right, of more liberal policing and more liberal prosecuting standards. Is that an experiment that's time has passed and we won't see it again, or will this debate rage on?
I think it's a very much a live experiment. And I think if you dig into the data over the last 5 years, you won't see, it's not like cities that adopted liberal crime policies saw crime go through the roof, and cities that, stuck with tough law and order policies, saw crime stay low. No, it went up everywhere during the pandemic and has come down a lot of places, not everywhere. So I think this is a very live debate about the best way to, protect the public and at the same time, respect civil rights.
The article is Blue Cities Are Embracing Conservative Anti-Crime Measures. Here's Why. And it's written by Paul Dimko. He's an editor at Politico. Go to Politico.com to read that. Thanks so much, Paul, for joining us.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.